ربي لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا ما رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضاء، ولك الحمد أبدا أبدا أبدا. والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، والحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا بما أنزل الله قالوا نؤمن بما أنزل علينا ويكفرون بما وراءه وهو الحق مصدقا لما معهم قل فلما تقتلون أنبياء الله من قبل إن كنتم مؤمنين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا، آمين يا رب العالمين. In this brief khutbah, I'd like to share with you some thoughts that are actually for myself a continuation of what I shared with the community in Irving last week. Last week I spoke briefly about the controversy apparently over the masjid that's trying to be constructed in New York City, where I actually come from. This week actually I'd like to speak to you a little bit about, and perhaps you've heard about this before at the masjid, and of course you've heard about this in the news, the proposed project of burning copies of the Mus'haf on September the 11th by some. It was originally started on Facebook, and then a church group in Gainesville, Florida is going to be holding this ceremony, and they're calling on other churches and other groups to hold this ceremony all over the country to try to celebrate this burning of the, they call it the burn the Quran. And I wanted to at least address this to, in some regard, for all of us inshallah ta'ala, including myself, because I think it's important that Muslims are all on the same page and they have clarity in thought when they come across these kinds of things, these acts of ignorance and really stupidity and proofs of, you know, one's idiocy. When we come across these kinds of things, what should be our reaction and how should we properly understand them? It's important that we have clarity and unanimity. We have consistency across the board within our community. First and foremost, I'd like you to understand that this is part of a game. And this is something, most of you already understand this. These tactics are done in a very calculated, precise fashion, and the purpose of them is to get some kind of reaction out of Muslims. And the expected reaction is that Muslims will go crazy and they're going to, you know, become overly emotional. Perhaps there are going to be some riots. They'll, you know, like what is typical sometimes we see in the recent days of the Danish cartoon controversy, where riots were in the streets and cars were being burnt down in Karachi and in, like, you know, in Cairo, and people were coming out and protesting and, you know, tearing shops apart. Now, what did the store owner have to do with the Danish controversy? I don't know. But Muslims are angry, and they have to show Muslims as these barbaric, mindless, civilization, or really not even a civilization. Look at how they react. They don't know how to be civil about things. So first and foremost, we have to understand that if we react in a certain way, we're playing right into their game. We're falling right into their trap. And we're doing exactly what they want us to do. And they do these kinds of things over and over again just to see how we're going to respond. And we have to understand the language of response. And you see, this is not the first time that these kinds of inciting attacks, there are two kinds of attacks, right? You can have a physical, military kind of attack, or you could have psychological attacks, ideological attacks. And of course, these are psychological and ideological types of attacks. But we need to know that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, suffered and faced both of these kinds of attacks in his own lifetime. And the Book of Allah faced both of these kinds of attacks in the life of the Messenger himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the first time. And so when things are horrendous and absolutely outrageous things are being said about Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or his book, this is something that's a continuation of the tradition of Quraysh. This is not something new. And Allah Azza wa Jalla addressed it in his book. It's not that he didn't. You know, you'll watch the CNN clip of that, you know, weird-looking pastor, and he's going to say, yeah, we believe the Quran is from the devil, blah, blah, blah. And you're gonna say, how could he say that? You know, we should, you know, this is very shocking language. And yet you find in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, make sure we understand, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is not the word of a cursed devil. This is not the word of a devil, because this was an accusation made already. Allah, what the accusations Allah has talked about in the Quran, they're not coming up with anything new. It's the same old thing. It's the same old game. And Allah Azza wa Jal has given us guidance on how to respond to it. And so when the Messenger was faced with the worst kinds of ignorance, the worst types of ignorance, then he was commanded, فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Be patient in the most beautiful form. Show you know, restraint over your emotions. When we respond intellectually. And I want to address some of the comments that were made, even though they're full of ignorance, at least for the younger Muslims here who get fired up real easy, or get depressed about these kinds of things. First and foremost, two things I want to talk about. The first of them is, there's no such thing as burning the Qur'an. There's no such thing. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this book from Lawhun Mahfuz, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ كِتَابٌ مَكْنُونٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about it as protected and guarded in the seventh heavens. And when Allah Azza wa Jal gave His Messenger the mission to deliver the message and people wouldn't take it seriously, they would disregard the Qur'an, what did Allah Azza wa Jal tell His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةً. No, this is a powerful reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Whoever wants, they can make mention of it. Whoever wants, they can benefit from the reminder and they can remember. But even if they don't, فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةً مَرْفُوعَةً مُطَهَّرَةً بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةً. This is very high speech. This is not some magazine or newspaper or book that was published here. This is from a very high place. So the fact that you even get to have contact with it and get to hear these words is an honor for you. And if you don't want to take benefit of it, that's your loss. Trying to insult Allah's book or to harm Allah's book is as useless as trying to spit at the sun. It's only going to come back on your own face. It's pointless. And so the first thing I want to share with you is the book, that what they're burning is ink and paper. What they're burning is things printed in a public printing press. They're not burning the Qur'an. The Qur'an is with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the Qur'an that came on the earth was revealed on the heart of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. So it was revealed on your heart so you can become from those who warn. And by the way, after that, in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah gives us a definition, a beautiful definition of the Qur'an. Besides the one that is up in the heavens, the worldly definition of Qur'an, what does he say? بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Those are these ayat that we recite, those are miraculous signs, clear miraculous signs that lie in the chests of those who have been given knowledge. You want to burn the Qur'an, you will have to burn these chests. This is where the Qur'an actually lies. They cannot remove this Qur'an. The only people in that, and the point I want to make here is, the only people who can violate Allah's book and not do justice to Allah's book and be criminals against Allah's book more than anyone else is the believers themselves. If we, who were given the Qur'an to keep in our hearts, remove it from our hearts. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Don't follow the one whose heart has been made void of our remembrance. And the remembrance of Allah is the Qur'an. When the Qur'an that was supposed to be in the chests of the believers, when it is gone from these chests, when we don't remember the Quran with our hearts, when we have no idea what's being recited in Salah, when we find it boring, and we're wondering what rak'ah is in Taraweeh already. You know, if that's the case with us, then we're bigger criminals. Don't worry about anybody else. Let's worry about ourselves first. We owe something to this book. We owe something to this book. And then on top of this, you know what we have done, we very quickly we look at non-Muslims and the things they do, but very difficult for us to look in the mirror, very difficult, and seriously look in the mirror. How can it be that we have Muslims all over this world, and I'm not knocking on any countries in particular, ourselves, we're guilty as well, and we can, you know, we can have decorative pieces of ayat of Quran in our homes and big framed ayat, you know, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ سُوتُ الْعَصْرِ. And then next to it is a big screen TV and you're watching movies for like 8 hours a day. And next to it, Allah swears by Himself that you're running out of time. This is not disrespect of Quran? This reminder is looking at you in the face and you couldn't care less? The only thing the Quran is doing in your car is that, you know, you don't have dual side airbags, so at least keep a copy of Quran in the car, you know? And while you're blasting whatever filth it is you're blasting, you know, T-Pain or whatever, you know? But you still gotta hang the Ayatul Kursi from the rear view mirror because it's gonna protect you somehow. This is Quran to you, you know? And this is a very scary thing that we reduce the Quran to trinkets. And I'm not saying don't keep a copy of Quran in your car and put the reminder from the rear view mirror. I say you should do it. But when the remembrance is gone, when the remembrance for the believer from the Quran, when it doesn't touch their heart, then there's a very serious problem. More serious than anyone trying to burn some copies of this Mus'haf. It's far more serious. And so what they are trying to do, first of all, just let's address what they're trying to do. What they are trying to do is proving Allah's point. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. They're trying to extinguish Allah's light with their mouths, and Allah is going to complete His light. There's no way around it. They can bark all they want. They can have as many barbecues as they like. That's not going to change anything. The word of Allah will be complete. The word of Allah will be supreme. وَلِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. And by the way, that's jumla ismiya. He didn't even put condition on it in Surah At-Tawbah. He said, the speech of Allah, it is supreme. He didn't say it will be supreme or so that it becomes supreme. He just said straight, directly, it is supreme. You don't have to elevate it, it's already elevated. It's already there. Nothing can bring it down. This is speech that, you know, this is not new, these attacks. So I conclude my first point with this, that we have to ourselves have increased dignity of Quran. We ourselves. And when we look at these acts of ignorance, we need to be collected and calm, and we need to first of all understand what they're doing is an exercise in futility. It's an exercise in futility. And the attempt of it is to get the emotions of the Muslims riled up. You know? Now, don't think we're not disrespected by their act. We are. This is offensive. What they're doing is offensive. But the way we respond is the way we should be responding, not the way they want us to respond. That's the first point I wanted to make. The second thing I wanted to bring to your attention is that in the CNN interview with this pastor, he said, yeah, we don't have any problem with Muslims, but the Sharia law is from the devil. That's what he says. Right? And this is something that's being repeated over and over again, how barbaric Sharia law is, and there are actually some in more academic circles, not these ignorant, like, you know, evangelical types of things, but in more academic circles in places like Harvard and Columbia University, forums are being held about how Sharia law does not jive with modern civilization, and how they actually had seminars about this last few years in a row about how, you know, the principles of Islamic law that deal with women and inheritance and things like that, or ridda, these kinds of issues, these are controversial laws and we need to find a way to help the Muslims reinterpret them in a way that is more politically correct, etc. And they've had forums on this issue, several forums, in more higher academic circles. But how do we respond to that? How do we understand that? First of all, let's respond to the pastor. For yourself, not for anybody else. Any law of Islam that is mentioned in the Quran that they call from the devil is already mentioned in the Bible. Allah already revealed it. This, what Allah revealed to us, is a confirmation of what was already revealed. And the things they call the most controversial, the things they call jihad controversial, read about smiting nations in the Bible. Then you find, and NPR did a show just on this, which book has more violence in it, and there's no comparison, the Bible is far more violent. According to their standard, we didn't say anything. And they don't, the Bible talks about not sparing even a man, woman, or a child, and burning down trees, and breaking every house. You know, there are passages like that in the Bible. But then they conveniently say, yeah, but we don't follow our book. What a thing to be taking pride in, right? We don't follow our book. But they want us to be that way. Subhanallah. The second thing here is one of the things that was recently made a big case of, oh, you Muslims are barbaric, you have this law of Ridda. Ridda means somebody leaves Islam. And when somebody leaves Islam, they miss it. They don't understand the fiqh of it at all. And this is not the forum to talk about its interpretation or understanding. But they say, oh, if somebody leaves Islam, you're going to kill him. Really? That's something you don't know about? When Musa alayhi salam went up to the mountain and they started worshipping the calf behind him and he comes back, what did Allah reveal? فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. This is in the Quran, this is in the Torah. Kill your own people. The ones who have left Islam and worshipped the calf, their punishment is they should be executed. This is not Sharia law, this is the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. And it's a continuation. It's not something new. This is something in your own book. You don't look at that as controversial? ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla told them, that is better for your nation as far as, you know, as far as your Lord is concerned. And He will accept your tawbah if you do so. You punish each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe, in Surah Al-Baqarah we learn, was commanded to execute those who had left Islam. And we're not saying that we do that with our people actually, because there's more involved to this law. And again, it's not the forum for that discussion. But to think that a pastor, somebody who teaches the Bible, can get up on a podium and talk about how these laws are from the devil, and yet they're found in his own book, that's fascinating to me. That's incredible to me. And the scarier thing is when Muslims are listening to these things, especially the level of ignorance Muslims have reached, and I say this over and over again, I don't get tired of it. The biggest weapon the enemies of Islam have, the biggest weapon they have, is not military might, it's not the media, it's nothing else. There's one weapon they have that is the most powerful. We should be afraid of that weapon. You know what it is? It is the ignorance of the Muslims. That's the weapon they have. They have no other weapon. If the Muslim is equipped with knowledge, if the Muslim is equipped with a proper education of his own book, then the Muslim has nothing to fear. You know, I travel around, and I haven't been traveling this Ramadan, alhamdulillah, but when I travel around, I listen to a lot of Christian talk radio. You know, what are they saying about Muslims? And they, you know, I was driving to Oklahoma, and this pastor's on the radio, and he's saying, yeah, I challenge any Muslim to call us on this station, because we have our Quran expert here, and he's going to, you know, tell you what's what. You know, and he's going to show you how there are contradictions in the Quran. I call them like 10 times, they keep hanging up on me. Right? And they have these fake callers. They call in and they say, yeah, I used to be Muslim, but now I see the light, you know, hallelujah, etc. And they'll celebrate, yes, another one has seen the light, you know, min an-nur ila dhulumat, but anyway. But it's all staged. You can clearly tell that it's staged, because the one that's supposedly Muslim says weirdo things that we never say. He doesn't even know how to say Assalamu Alaikum properly. So you know it's all drama and staged. And it's laughable. It's comedy to me. But you know what scares me? There's a Muslim out there listening to this who doesn't have knowledge. Who doesn't know. And he's listening to that and it's getting inside his head. And he's getting impressed with it. And he's getting twisted with it. And it's not just Christian talk radio. Our youth, our young people, they're going to college courses. And you know, part of your requirements in college is to take at least a couple of courses in philosophy. And nowadays, for a lot of schools, they're offering Islamic history as one of the courses because, of course, we're the new Cold War. Or it's actually a pretty hot war nowadays, right? So a lot of courses are being offered in universities about Islamic history, of course, being taught by non-Muslims with very non-Muslim agendas. I had an opportunity to meet with a head of a history department in Florida, in Orlando, Florida, at Valencia College. And he got fired. You know why? Because he refused to teach the book Clash of Civilizations. Because they want to push this idea that Muslims and Christians and the Western world is supposed to clash and fight. And he says, no, I don't believe in this idea. There are other texts we can teach. Got fired. So what they pretend to be is open-minded academics, and we study everything and we look at things analytically. It's all hogwash. There are a lot of universities in this country that are pushing a particular agenda. And our youth are going to universities. And I'm not saying they shouldn't go, but they get exposed to things from one point of view and they don't have a response from the Muslim side. They take two philosophy classes and they get messed up in the head. They think they know philosophy. They don't. But they get messed up in the head because they don't get answers to their questions from their parents or even at the masjid. How many children I have met, just in this last summer, I maybe went to 12 states, alhamdulillah, Muslim communities. I must have met at least 12 to 15 young people that have left Islam. Why? After taking a couple of college courses. A course on Islamic history, a course on, a couple of courses in philosophy, and that's it. They're like 19, 20 years old. Shaitan's already driving their hormones crazy, so every time they try to go party, they feel bad because they're Muslim, so Shaitan gives them an intellectual reason to even not even feel bad about that and party. The real reason is they want to party. They're not philosophers. They're not very deep in their knowledge of philosophy. But he gives them this excuse. He gives them this excuse. So we're living in these times where we have to understand the real state of emergency. The real state of emergency is not from the outside of what they're saying about us. The real state of emergency is our lack of preparation for ourselves. That is the real state of emergency. Our youth aren't prepared, our elders aren't prepared. We have to equip ourselves with proper knowledge and proper training. And our da'wah really needs to get beefed up. We need to understand what criticisms are out there and how to understand them first of all and how to respond to them intelligently. This is a need of the hour. Islamic knowledge or learning proper knowledge of Islam and attending educational programs, and alhamdulillah we have Brother Abdul Rahman here and there's a youth program going on. Having our kids come to these kinds of programs has become absolutely essential. It's not a luxury anymore. Because when a nation is not aware, then it cannot survive. And today, our ummah in this country, or even in this city, let's not even talk about the whole country, in this city, our ummah, the Muslims, we are not known, or we are not defined by our knowledge, but their lack thereof. We're not a knowledgeable community. We have to be. And the masajid now have to serve the role, not just of being the places of worship, but now the centers of learning. Which is why it's so important that we further the institutions that we already have and create even more institutions that can serve more needs. These institutions, we would think these are nice projects, they're always asking about fundraising. By the way, I'm not here to fundraise. I'm not here to fundraise. But I'm just letting you know, these institutions that are there and the brothers come and they say, help the school, help the Sunday school, help IQA, help, the Islamic project, help the da'wah program, help the youth program. And you say, man, these guys are always asking about, you know what? This is the lifeline of our community. This is the lifeline. A few weeks ago or a couple of weeks back when the Qiyam al-Layl was held for the youth here and I came to visit. SubhanAllah, youth that you will never see in the masjid were here. I've never seen them before, and Abdul Rahman also told me he's never seen some of these kids before. And they showed up. That's a blessing of Allah. That's a blessing of Allah that we're actually getting them to come here. But now what do we do when they get here? What do? We have to be equipped. We have to be ready. Nobody's going to do that for us. Many of you come from the Muslim world where the institutions are taken care of by waqf that is running for centuries. The masajid are taken care of. You don't have to do fundraising. Or you drop a couple of, riyals or rupees or whatever in the box and you're okay. Because the government will take care of it. Other institutions are there for hundreds of years. That is not the case in America. The only one taking care of these things now is us. We have to take care of them. There's nobody else. So we have to step up this, our activities and our awareness in regards to these things. I leave you, inshallah ta'ala, with just a couple of ayat. These are about Bani Israel. I started with them, but they're supposed to be warning for ourselves. They were told, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ Why don't you believe in what Allah has sent down? قَالُوا They responded, نُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا We already believe in what was sent to us or upon us. And Allah responds, وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ While they disbelieve in what is behind them. In other words, they claim they believe it, but Allah says, no, they don't. In the same ayah, He says, no, they don't. They say it, but they don't. وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ And it is the truth confirming what they have with them. قُلْ فَلِمَا تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ You really believe what you were given before? Why were you killing prophets much before? You have a history of killing prophets, and it's not just mentioned in the Qur'an. This is in the Old Testament. You have a history of killing prophets. If you're such believers, where did that come from? وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ And forget the prophets. Musa, of all the prophets, Musa alayhi salam, the one who brought you out of the clutches of Fir'aun, what did you do with him? ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ You even violated the allegiance to Musa alayhi salam. He brought you out of the clutches of Fir'aun, but when he was called by Allah, you started worshipping the calf and you were wrongdoers. And forget even Musa alayhi salam, you didn't even have regard for Allah himself. Allah azza wa jalla says, أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ in the next ayah. When we took the covenant from you and raised the mountain of Tur above you, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Hold on to what we have given you with great might. Hold on to it tight. This is what the Israelites were told. Hold on to your book tight. But now who's being told? Well, Allah put this in our book, right? So it's not just a history lesson. It's a living lesson. Who's supposed to hold on to their book tight now? Think about that. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. And what did you say? And this is Allah telling them directly. And how did they respond? سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. We hear and we disobey. That's how they responded. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. And the love of the worshipping the calf was poured into their hearts. Their hearts were made to drink it. You know? قُلْ بِئْسَ مَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ إِيمَانُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. What horrible things your iman, your faith tells you to do. This is your faith? If in fact you're faithful, Allah asked them a question. When they were told, why don't you believe in what Allah sent down? They said, we already have iman. At the end of that passage, Allah says, what an amazing iman you have. It tells you to do all these terrible things. That's what you call iman? Now we have to ask ourselves that question, not the Israelites. We have to ask ourselves this question. Allah has given us this book. How many of us have even tried to do justice to this book? How many of us have tried to make an attempt to create a community inspired by this book? What have we done to take this ummah forward? What have we done? What have you done and I done? Each one of us has a part to play. Don't think that you're just part of the audience. The fact that you are Muslims, by definition now, Allah has put you in a position of leadership. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best of ummahs raised for people. None of you sitting here is just by themselves and they have no responsibilities. Every man and woman sitting in this audience today is a leader by Allah's decree. And we have to take responsibility. We have to move forward with this theme. We have to take it more seriously. The religion for everybody else is just a culture, something their parents handed them down. For us, this is a mission. Our religion, our deen is a mission. And it's the mission of your mission of your life is not to get a promotion. The mission of your life is not to open up a second store or to buy that car that you've been saving up for. Those are not your missions. Those are side things. Your mission is this deen. Your life, your death. You know? إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When we understand that, my prayer, my sacrifice, my death and my life, all of them belong to Allah. That is my mission. When you and I understand that, then we will begin to do justice to this book. Then we will do justice to this book. And I pray sincerely that Allah Azza wa Jalla empowers us and all of the communities across this country and the world with the message of this book. This is the month to get close to Quran, to honor this book. Don't be distracted by these stupid things that you see in the media. You're spending more time watching those videos and getting depressed about it than you should be sitting there and reciting and trying to understand Allah's book. Spend more time, do something productive with your life. You're not going to change anything watching a YouTube video. Okay, the change doesn't come that way. Be productive this Ramadan. Engage in the masjid this Ramadan. Listen to the halaqat at the masjid. Come attend the programs. Learn something. Ask questions. You have wonderful scholars in the community. You have the opportunity to learn more about your religion. Things are bothering you. They're confusing you. You have people here that can try to help you get the answer. And if they don't know the answer, they can look it up for you. You have to become engaged. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us, our children, our families, the ability to become healthy members of the Muslim community. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make the Muslim community a beacon of light, a source of guidance for the entire country at large. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa. خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا
والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.